This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome here to the Christian War Room, and I want to talk today about... it's war, isn't it? It's war that's going on. I want to talk today about the left and the weirdness of the left. Okay, now, right, before I make a start, maybe I should, make a point of where I stand politically and what I think politically. And how does politics fit in with the church? Now, I think there are a couple of demands which as a church we can have towards politics, and a thing which we should always strive for, and that is, and it doesn't matter what political system we are in, whether we are in the East, the West, whether we are under socialism, communism, under capitalism, under tyranny, or whatever we are, yeah, whichever place, whatever, whatever we have been placed under, we should always push for the freedom to preach the gospel and to reach out with the gospel to the people around us, to our nation, to our leaders, yeah. And it doesn't really matter. And when we look at it historically, we've had the Roman Empire, which was very oppressive, and yet there were times where there was relative freedom to preach the gospel, and on the contrary, where Christians were protected by Rome as they were persecuted by the Jews who didn't go along with them. Okay, the Jews initially, they thought that Christianity was a very dangerous sect, and to be fair, from a Jewish perspective, it's probably the case, because they pretty much preached a version of Judaism which was very different to what they were practicing at the time. You know, but ultimately, the truth is the truth, and you need to stick to the truth, and the truth was revealed in Jesus Christ. And to be fair, even if you look at the Old Testament and you look at what was happening within Judaism, there was a lot of stuff amiss. There was a lot of tradition which has crept into it, which pretty much destroyed what was laid down in the Mosaic Law. But anyway, leaving this aside, so Rome at one stage was protecting Christians from Jewish persecution. Yeah? And we can see some examples in the Bible as well, where Paul was in dire straits with the Jewish authorities, and the Roman instituted authority didn't know what to do with this. And then they wanted to hand him over just to the Jews, but then Paul appealed to Rome. And that was his protection, and he wasn't put to death. Otherwise, if he had been handed over to the Jews, he would have been certain of death, or highly likely that he would have been killed in the process. Now, let's go back politically. Yeah, we look through history, and we've got all sorts of regimes. Even under communism, there were times where the church was free to operate. For example, the Second World War, where people were dying right, left, and center. Stalin actually allowed the churches to operate for a short period of time until he began his tyranny and carried on persecuting the church. But what is going on today, and what are we finding today in politics? And I want to sort of lead to this. And we've got the definition, which I think is maybe surplus to requirements these days because it doesn't seem to add up anymore. We've got the left and the right, and if you are my age, I was born in the 60s, so obviously I was just a toddler in the 60s. I can vividly remember the late 70s and 80s, and politically as well, what was going on politically worldwide. Yeah, so I was a child of the Cold War, so I've seen the fear we were living under between East and West. And also, the different, being German, I've had the, growing up in West Germany, we've had East Germany just, couple of miles on the other side from where I was born, not a couple of miles, but maybe 100 miles or so, further east, my world finished. That was a communist bloc. I couldn't go in there freely. It was very difficult. Once I had a chance to go in there, and I made use of it, and I had a look how it all worked and how people lived on the other side, it was very oppressive. It was very difficult. And then within the country, at the same division as well, you had this concept of the left, or the social democrats, or socialism, And you had the right as well. But I think at the time, most politicians, they were very pragmatic. They pretty much had the same aim. They wanted to keep the peace, maintain prosperity, make sure that everybody's got enough to eat, have a little bit of social justice. There are different ways of trying to achieve these aims, and from what I can gather, the same pretty much happened in England as well, or throughout Europe. And then what you found is that the people would vote a left-wing parliament in, and they would, you know, come up with all the benefits and social justice and try to equalize everything. And then later on, they would vote in the right wing, because very often, because legislation and paperwork and everything became so big that it stifled the economy, and you had to do something to try and get rid of some of the, you know, the excesses, which very often was sort of introduced by the left and by the left-leaning politicians. And you had to free up the economy a bit to allow it to breathe and create jobs and so on. And I think that was sort of traditionally, which was happening in the 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe in the 90s as well. And then things started changing dramatically. Okay, let's have a look at the left and the right. Yeah. So in America, we've got the Republicans and the Democrats. The Democrats traditionally being considered to be progressive and left-leaning, and the Republicans to be conservative, you know, trying to maintain the status quo and more towards, you know, kind of freedom and freedom, economic freedom and so on. In Europe, I think the whole landscape in Europe is divided between right and left. And no, they don't like this terminology. All the parties, they call themselves center parties. And I mean, one thing which kind of shocks me when I look at today's politicians is how weird the whole thing has become. And you don't really know where you are anymore. Okay, let's go back just 100 years, and what we found is that we had the Industrial Revolution. A lot of people started working, moving into the cities and working in factories instead of working the land, and we found that there was a lot of exploitation taking place. So people were being paid very, very little. They really struggled to survive. They had very little to eat. They were working in very horrible conditions at times. And suddenly there was this movement, the so-called labor movement coming up, the Labor Party, looking after the interests of the workforce. And obviously, within the concept of capitalism, the interest is not to kill the industry, because then people wouldn't have any jobs anymore, but to gradually improve the living standards and the working conditions of the labor, the working class, the labor class, the laborers. And this is a very good thing. It's very altruistic. It's nice. You know, we all need to live in dignity. And if you look at capitalism, capitalism is just focused on money and maximizing the profit, not necessarily on creating a nice society or a pleasant society. Again, when I look at capitalism, there are also two sides of it. There are a lot of Christian capitalists. There are some really interesting examples here in Britain who were Christians, you know, Bible-believing, faithful, humble Christians, and they turned industrialists, or they were industrialists, or became Christian. I'm not quite sure which way around. But they didn't live the high life. They chose to live a simple, frugal lifestyle, but then they invested a lot of money into you know, making sure that their workers were having good living conditions. And it was a little bit like building a small empire. So I remember there's one town, it's near where I live, it's called Saltaire. And in this town, they built good houses. They made sure there's plenty of space. Houses have got gardens. There's good ventilation. There's good sewerage system. They allowed for churches to be built, and so they didn't care about the denominations, and they didn't require them to be the same denomination as the, you know, the factory owner. And they built shops and hospitals and schools, always in walking distance for the kids. And so it was a little bit at the time of a worker's paradise. At the time, that was pretty much unheard of, and it was quite extraordinary. But that is capitalism going very well, where factory owners and people who are in control of the capital realize the responsibility God has placed upon them, and deal with it in a saintly manner. And you get something really positive coming out of it. Yeah. Okay, and I show you the other side as well. I mean, we've got socialism, and I once had the chance of, I think it's the only communist community that exists. And it's really, really bizarre, because you would think, oh dear, you know, Michael, where are you going? You know, watch out. Anyway, I spent some time with these guys, and they lived in pure communism. So extreme that even the clothing they were wearing doesn't belong to them. Yeah. Total common ownership of everything. Everybody was given as they had need, but nobody owned a penny. I think they get like a pocket money of $10 or something a month or something. But everything else is taken care of. Their food is taken care of. Their living accommodation, their health insurance, everything is taken care of. And it's all paid for by the community. It's really interesting. They are so-called Hutterites. Jacob Hutter, he was from Austria. He became a Christian, and he had a small community which came around. He was later captured and burned at the stake. So we are talking about the 1500s. But from this time, there's this community of Christians who take what it says, when it says in Acts, you know, that the believers, they all stay together and they had everything in common, who take this verse literally, and they've built up a whole society, and they are not all over the world, but there are many parts of the world. You've got these communities where they live in communal fellowship. They're very powerful, very rich, very cash rich, but nobody owns a penny. This is the thing. It's all owned by the community. And it's interesting as well. They are really Christians. So from what I picked up, they a little bit stifled. You know, they still read the sermons from Jacob Hutter from 500 years ago. But they preach the gospel. They put a strong emphasis on preaching the gospel, and the understanding as well is, if you don't have the gospel in your life, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you just can't hack it living the way they do. And it's true, a lot of people leave, they can't hack it, and they put a strong emphasis on, from what I could gather, on internal mission, on getting the gospel across to the kids within their community as they grow up. But it's the only example of successful communism, and it's lasted for 500 years. And you can today find them in America, in Canada, I think in Paraguay there are some communities. They used to be in the Ukraine, but then they, it's interesting as well, the only true communists, they gave them a hard time because they wouldn't subscribe to atheism, and they were fiercely loyal to Jesus Christ. And anyway, let me move back to the left. What is going on with the left today? And it's really bizarre. I look at the left in the original context and concept, and it's really good. You know, you've got this problem with people being exploited. You try to look after them. You make sure they can live in dignity. But we've got one problem here, and that very often, when you look at socialism, there is the rejection of God. And that is one of the biggest problems we've got with the left. There's a rejection of God. Obviously, there's a bit of a beef with authority, because they don't like that the capitalist has got authority over the laborers. That comes from 100 years ago. And this has been transferred to any authority whatsoever. So they negate the concept of sort of established society. They are pretty much anti-establishment. And in a way, I can relate to that. I would consider myself to be anti-establishment. And do I struggle with authority? I do respect, accept authority. But when I became a Christian, I really struggled. I mean, I'm going back a long time now, accepting this. Yeah, and accepting also God's authority in my life. But you realize, you know, do it your own way, you mess up. Do it God's way, and it works. And so I think it's very, very important to accept authority. And what we find within the left, within the progressive part of the left, that authority is very often rejected. And that goes as far as, you know, clerical authority, so the church as such. There's a great rejection of the church, and there's an embracing an adherence to dialectic materialism, which is the philosophy of running society without God. They're very strong on humanism. Again, humanism putting man first, and there's old and new humanism as well, when you sort of go into this philosophically. But But it's putting man first, putting man right at the top, and not God. Man is at the top. Man is a measure of all things. And that is pretty much what we get from the left. Okay, now we've got the left today. And it's really, really confusing. So we had, and when we sort of look at the left, we can look at the feminist movement. We can look at socialism and communism to the extreme. We can look at sort of radical humanism. The LGBT movement pretty much fits in within the left. We have the broad rejection of anything to do with obviously the right, with family values, traditional values, sort of a patriarchal society, okay, which is so they profess equality, but then on the other side they clearly seem to move towards a matriarchat where men are emasculated and they are considered to be invaluable only as potentially sperm donors, and women need to run the show. That's what I sense, what is happening with feminism today, and where there's something which is very weird and very strange. The left seems to embrace it vehemently, and we can see this throughout Europe today, how the left has gained ground. We can see this in America as well now, where it's coming. We could see this with the whole Hillary Clinton thing, which was going on there, where they thought that she had to, you know, be the embodiment of feminism. And yet, I don't know, she's a very strange character as well. When you look at her political career, the stuff she's said throughout her lifetime, and the lack of achievements in her life as well, other than maybe the Clinton Foundation and getting lots of money in for whatever. So we've got a big problem here with the left. It gets even more bizarre where we've got this whole progressiveness which comes in. So progressive means leaving the old behind and looking for something new. And that is sort of the underlining current which we get from the left. And we find that, for example, the whole diversity debate is very big, and we find suddenly that there is an alliance between, for example, radical Islam and Islamism and the left. And to me, it beckons belief. So we've got people who hide their women behind sheets, just give them two little holes, if that, to look out, some extremists. And we find the left just embracing them and extolling their virtues and, you know, of whatever they stand for, saying, you know, this is all peaceful, this is all good. I mean, my thinking would be that the feminists, they should just go up in arms and, you know, decry this alliance between between Islam and the left. Yeah, it's really, really bizarre. I don't fully understand what's going on, whether they are trying to fish for votes. One thing is for sure, if once they take hold in European countries, and we've seen this all over the Islamic world, if sooner or later there'll be an Islamic party, and I mean the left, I think they assume, okay, these guys are going to vote for us because we got them into the country and we made sure that, you know, they get all the rights to do whatever they want to do, even though if they go against our own principles. What they don't see is that the day will come that they will vote for their radical parties, embracing a radical Islamic lifestyle or concept, and the left are going to be the first who go. You know, they will not subscribe to the LGBT agenda. They will not subscribe to freedom. They will not subscribe to atheism or humanism. They will not subscribe to feminist aspirations. They will not subscribe to equality between man and woman. Just to remind you, in Saudi Arabia, they're just discussing whether a woman is allowed to have a driving license. There are issues that a woman cannot be seen on the street without a male, either a relative or her husband, and things like that. I mean, this is going on in the 21st century, and they are just discussing these things to change them, going to other Islamic societies. I mean, I used to live in Pakistan. I'm going back about 30 years ago for 3 months. And And that was the same thing. You never saw, and it never dawned on me, but one day it just hit me. You didn't see women on the street. It were just men doing the shopping, doing everything else. The women stayed at home. They weren't allowed to go out. And it wasn't enforced. I mean, Pakistan at the time had a secular government. It wasn't enforced. It was just a culture they had. And they imposed this on women. If women traveled without a male, it was considered to be very problematic. Yeah. So what point am I making here? We've got the left, I think, who is on a very destructive path, possibly even a self-destructive path, where things are embraced by the left from an altruistic perspective, you know, like a do-gooders perspective. We want to do good, we want to do the right thing. But ultimately, they are so confused in what they're doing that they are destroying the very base of their existence. Yeah. Just to make the point, by destroying the traditional family model and by embracing new alternative lifestyles, and I'm making a daring statement here, it's pretty much proven, and I'm relaying back, or I'm standing on anecdotal evidence, that the traditional family, where you've got a mother who is like a mother, a father who assumes his responsibility as a father, who stay together and who raise children, who are not career-minded, but they are focused on the family and focused on, you know, cohesion within the family and holding the family together, who are not necessarily bringing in two wages so they can go to Ibiza or Florida or wherever on a holiday twice a year or something like that, that this model works best, and that people who come out of this relationship, kids who grow out of this relationship, have got the best chance of making it. Yeah, I mean, one thing again, and I just want to sort of emphasize this. Yeah, this is factual data. When I look at the society as a whole of what's been happening over the, you know, through a leftist agenda over the recent years, the use of antidepressants has skyrocketed. I think, I'm not quite sure what the figures are, but I once heard them in America. They're quite shocking. I know here in England, I heard a documentary. They were concerned about this because the use of antidepressants has skyrocketed over the last 10 years. And you look at the figures of mental health, going 20 years back and going to where we are now, and there's a huge difference. There's a very huge difference. And economically, we are doing relatively well, you know, so things have not been too bad, which might, you know, explain that things are wrong. But in the 90s, economically, it was quite difficult. So the antidepressant use in the 90s was nothing in comparison to what it is today here in England. And I've heard some figures in America which are quite astounding. So there's something definitely going wrong. There's something definitely going wrong. Obviously, I'm a Christian, and I would always go back to the Christian values. If we go back to living the way God wants us to live, to have a balanced lifestyle, to live in relationships which are committed, to assume responsibility and to seek, not just seek to fulfill one's pleasure, which society has been pretty much dictating us for the last 30, 40 years, but to live with a sense of duty, yeah, so to do things because they are the right thing, not because they are the most opportune thing for us. And I think that is the difference between the left and the right, where the left is progressive, looking for new ways of doing things, discarding old ways of doing things, you know, traditions which are sometimes as old as mankind is. For example, the concept of marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a... That's a concept that's pretty much as old as mankind. And then suddenly this generation comes up and decides, oh, no, you got it all wrong. We need to redefine it. And this type of relationship is considered to be equal to the other one. It's not an anomaly or anything like that. That's just as, you know, good as the other. And again, you've got the whole problem where, you know, it's not the case. Yeah, people are not more fulfilled. People are not happier. Medically, it's not healthy to engage in certain practices. And we need to sort of see what the left is there for and what the left stands for, and try to open our eyes to the agendas which are driven, which I would say by a very nefarious community. I'm not quite sure what the aims are, but it is not doing anything good to society. And we can see this with all the pushes which have happened over the last sort of 20, 30 years that that society has pretty much gone from good to worse. When I look at generations, I can see that, for example, my parents' generations, who were born sort of in the 30s and 40s, they seem to be a lot happier. They seem to be a lot more content than my generation growing up. And I get the impression that the generation that is following us has even got a worse deal, because they don't seem to have any guidelines. They don't seem to have any sense of direction. They're looped into this progressiveness, and they are sort of led into a path which is very contradictory and very strange indeed. So I have to come to an end now. One thing which really strikes me, the left is always anti-war, anti-violent, for peace, for gun control, and things like that. Then you get, one example is you just get the election of President Trump in America, okay, who is very much anti-left, very much anti-political correctness, very much free speech, very much anything against the left, pretty much voted almost by a landslide. I don't believe the Hillary Clinton talk of that she had more votes, but she didn't make it. Anyway, he came into office and people were just running berserk. They were torching cars, throwing and smashing windows, stopping traffic on the roads, and trying to disrupt the country as much as possible. We find that there are people who are on the conservative spectrum, that they are speaking at venues, and venues have to be shut down because of threats of violence by the left. To me, it's sort of a big mystery why they can shut people down, and it is perfectly okay for them because they don't follow their agenda and they have got the right answers. And yet, on the other side, they decry violence and are for disarmament and gun control and everything else. It's a big mystery to me how this all fits together, but that's what we find with the left. That on one hand, violence is okay as long as it suits their purposes, but if you want to defend yourself, you are in deep trouble. You can't do this. Yeah, you have to because you cannot be trusted. Yeah. Okay, we are coming to an end. I wanted to make a point as well. There's some very strange stuff going on from the left in Germany. Some politicians making a big thing about hate speech and how bad hate speech is and it leads to violence, and therefore to stop violence we need to control speech. Some big politicians, they're making these points all the time, pretty much opposing free speech. And once they've got a handle over controlling free speech, the next thing which we'll see is that our speech is going to be controlled all over. So from hate speech can be, if you offend somebody directly, and then eventually you will find that that hate speech is if you don't say the right thing, if you don't say whatever the leftist agenda or the leftist camp wants you to say. Okay, we have to come to an end here. I just want to sort of look at the left and look at the thing we maybe in the next talk, we're going to pick it up again. One big thing is about free speech as well. We need to fight for free speech. We need to fight for the right to preach the gospel, regardless of what type of political system we live. Okay, you can get us on christianwarroom.com. Thanks for listening, and stay faithful, focus on Jesus, and God bless. Bye-bye.